You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. The headlines, well, yesterday, Jim Caldwell interviewed for the head coaching job here with the Houston Texans. Questions about that. Why are you interviewing a coach before you have a GM? And Jim Caldwell, really? That's going to excite the fan base. I mean, you want to talk about it, Dell?
Who would it? Like, college fan bases get really excited for head coaches because you think he's going to be all about the school, one head coach away, some recruiting, we're going to be really, really good. Who would excite a fan base in the NFL outside of, like, some giant name? Like, if you just hire the assistant from the Bears, some defensive assistant coordinator, would that excite people?
I'll tell you what, I really think a Joe Brady would.
Is Joe Brady going to get a head coaching job?
I think Joe Brady's not long in this world. But before
how's Carolina looking offensively this year? I don't know. I'm actually asking. I don't.
Yeah, I think this year of calling plays in the NFL is going to help him considerably. But hey, how's Carolina? Period. They lost their general manager because they don't have much talent.
Yeah, so I think we'll see Joe Brady be at least there for another year. I don't know.
I'm telling you, Joe Brady's on a...
It's not about what his track is. We're talking about who would be available for the Texans and who's available, who's likely, and who would get them excited. And apparently Eric Bieniemy would be the name.
Yeah. And by the way, Deshaun is front and center in this this search for GM and head coach.
Deshaun's opinion in this.
And there could well and probably will be an African American
head coach.
Yep,
I think there's a decent chance of it. It's going to be an offensive guy. But here's the thing: I've been told Eric Bieniemy does not. Well, I don't know. I probably shouldn't say it, but I'm not sure that the Texans are considered a top job. I know everyone loves Deshaun. The issues still remain, the concerns. The job that just got a lot more enticing is the Jaguar job.
Yep.
I mean, anywhere where Trevor Lawrence is, you can hitch your wagon there. You get a new GM coming in at the same time.
They got some talent.
They do have some talent. I mean, honestly, the Texans have fewer core players than a lot of these other teams.
No, absolutely they do.
Traded them away.
Yeah.
Bill traded away core players.
Yeah. They're best players. If you were really, really good, Bill O'Brien didn't want you here.
DJ Reader was a core player. He was a free agent, but DJ Reader was a core player. DeAndre Hopkins was a core player. Jadeveon Clowney, he was going to go, I think. I think they were going to move him anyway. But still, I mean, you've lost those two guys. You've had draft picks where you could have drafted core players, and they've given them away. I guess they added Brandon Cooks, and Brandon Cooks is definitely a core player, but he's not even a wide receiver one. I mean, he's not even – Chad Hansen is out catching him.
Well, I mean, he's been getting – Dwayne Brown was a core player.
Yeah, that wasn't
Brandon
on OB,
Brooks
though.
Turned into a Pro Bowler that won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but the Dwayne Brown, I don't want to put that on OB. OB deserves a lot of the fault.
Was he in on the decision not to give him the money?
No. Dwayne on a podcast, he was on Takeo Spikes' podcast, said he loved OB. Uh-huh. He was a fan of OB's. And he's still cool with OB, and that had nothing to do with OB. That's from Dwayne Brown. So he was not, that was not him on that one. So remember, he didn't have, that was Rick and Bob McNair.
Yeah. Well, but listen, okay.
I don't know that okay, Rick and Dwayne
scenes,
had a great.
Dwayne Brown doesn't know if Bill O'Brien was pining for him or not.
Well, Dwayne wanted to get to the West Coast. His wife wanted to get to the West Coast, if possible. They were living there in the off season.
Yeah, she does TV stuff, doesn't she?
Yeah, and crystals.
I don't know that.
The rocks, crystals? Yeah.
What do you mean she does crystals?
She sells like crystals or whatever.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Where you can read your
neat stuff.
But you said
it is a neat stuff.
But didn't you say she does crystal?
Yeah. No, she doesn't
crystal meth?
Yeah.
No, crystals.
Be clear. But yeah.
I'm
going to
see a picture
crystal.
Images of her, see if she has her teeth.
It's Debbie Deb is her name. And go, hold on. Debbie Deb? Here he goes. Debbie Deb, American singer. Oh, no, it's not Debbie Deb. It's Debbie Deb, the DJ. And she's Dwayne Brown's. She's Dwayne Brown's wife, and she worked it on 93.7. She used to do morning radio. I mean, she's been a morning DJ here.
I didn't know that. Well, good for her.
Yeah.
No, that's nice. Good
yeah, for Devi. I'm sorry. It's Devi Brown.
Yeah, good for her. So anyway, yeah, if you want to know the truth, would you look at the jobs right now? Jacksonville probably is the most enticing. Now, the problem with Jacksonville is, I got the Rona. The problem with Jacksonville is, are you sure you're going to be in Jacksonville in 3 years? Or are you going to be sipping tea in London?
That's what I said to Fred, and Fred's like, hey, I was there for a Texans game. London's pretty is a pretty sweet place to go. I'm like, yeah, but everyone says that about every place they visit. Yeah. You don't know if you want to live there.
Yeah.
Oi, Fred! You know, put your ponytail up, mate! What if they're screaming at you about your ponytail, or you're like, your long hair's getting in my way, and your rubbish team is here ruining everything!
Do you think that the Texans want to travel every year to
London? Do you think that he wants the Jaguars and Fulham all in the same place? Ugh. Gross, right, Dale?
He owns Fulham, too?
Shad Khan does, yeah. That's Dell's squad. They're going to be relegated again soon.
They're going to be relegated? Nice job, Dell.
I mean, there's over half a season ago, so.
Them and Arsenal, your squad.
It's not guaranteed. He's just talking Arsenal out of his ass. Back.
Arsenal is terrible right now.
Don't trust Lance. He.
Why not trust me? We're number two on the table, Dell.
And you know how that's going to end, right?
You just got dabbed on.
He knows how that's going to end. Out of the Champions League and barely hanging on in Europa.
Okay, tell it to Tottenham, tell it to Arsenal, tell it to Chelsea, tell it to all the best teams.
Lance, when's the last time Everton's been in the Champions League?
Going to be this year.
Oh, that's right. Never.
Doesn't matter. Okay, Longhorn Dell.
All right. Nice.
Doesn't matter what happens now because of what happened 40 years ago or whatever.
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. What's happening now with the Aggies?
No, that's
the Aggies
didn't
make the...
You got to wait a year to see if it's any good.
In fact... It's the reverse. It doesn't matter what happens this year.
Right.
It matters what happens in,
The Aggies did end up out of the playoffs.
They did.
They didn't lose the game.
Might have heard Longhorn Scott's call and said, Aggies.
And you're not second in the table. You're fourth in the table, liar.
Well, we were second after we won.
And now you're fourth. And look,
is that champions still?
Look at that. Only
are we
once,
in the champions?
You're 1 point ahead of Chelsea and Tottenham and 2 points
ahead of Southampton. Ask where Fulham is, Dell. Now do
you know
Fulham.
You know what's
going to
happen?
Now do Fulham, Dell.
My team isn't expected to compete. They're just expected to survive. You
like
think,
the Jaguars.
You think you're gonna be a top four team? Never. Everton never does that. Your team
don't until now with Richarlison.
John, I know this is going
soccer
over your head.
Talk.
John,
I'm neat stuff.
Is that new? That
no,
new
I'm just trying to
come stuff.
I'm just,
going on there.
John, I'm just trying to make it for something you understand. Everton could have a Champions League spot wrapped up and then go 0-27, and it wouldn't be a shock to anyone because that's who
now,
they are.
Now, they do Houston
so
sports
you guys
team
lost
stuff.
Me immediately when you said they're second in the table. You mean in the standings?
Yes.
No, it's the
okay.
table.
Then say the standings.
No, it's the table.
Okay.
It's the table.
Okay.
Do you use
say field and not pitch?
What came up first? Soccer.
Say zero.
You're the
and
one
not
who
nil.
Watched the soccer documentary or the soccer period piece from the 1800s.
Yeah.
We invented
you
the game.
You can't listen to him because if you kept calling a golf club stick, hey, hit the ball at the stick, he'd be upset. So use a proper term.
Use a proper term.
No. It's a golf club. It's a club.
Yeah, exactly. So use the proper pitch. Use the proper terms.
When you go to England, do you eat
it's a
McDonald's?
Field.
It's a pitch.
Do you go to Hard Rock Cafe when you go to McDonald's and when you go to Europe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course you do. Ugly American.
Well, we know who he is.
I eat Burger
I don't
Royale.
Like shepherds in my pie. That's not what it is, sir. No, we don't put actual shepherds in your
pie. I eat
pie.
A Royale with cheese. That's what I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
And judging
do you put mayonnaise on your fries?
And judging by that last read, a blind, ugly American, if he doesn't get it corrected.
809 ESPN 97.5.
What's that on that page? I can't see it.
You wanker?
Wanker. So I want to hear on the other side what...
Hey, wanker! Fred will be like, why do they keep saying wanker to me?
Can't you see you wanker?
Why'd you move over here, wanker? Take your rubbish Jaguars and leave. I've already dealing with Leeds.
Why is Fred with the Jaguars now?
Because Fred wants to live in London.
He does?
Yeah, so if he's going to live
there. No, he said he went there and it was nice.
Yeah, and he said it's a good place to live. Uh-oh. And so if the Jack,
it's expensive. He asked me about AF, by the way.
Yeah.
AF.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every place is, other than Houston.
Houston is the best place in the world to live.
Austin is expensive AF.
Yeah.
Chicago, expensive AF. Dallas, mm-hmm. New York, London, Paris. Everywhere is expensive AF except here in Belize.
That's it. The only two places you can live right now.
In Belize, we get, I'm sorry, excuse me. One American dollar is worth two Belizean dollars? It's a 1-2? We're on the right side of this? I was in Canada like, that sucks too. Go to Belize, I'm like, I am a king here. I am an absolute.
Here, take this dollar
here you
for
go.
Your service. That's for the week. Thank you. When we come back, I want to hear what Rack thinks of Ross Blacklock. He's really high on Ross Blacklock right now.
Is he?
Well, not so much.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 813 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
I can't stop watching this guy. He's got a million hits.
Obsessed.
He's got
this.
42 million.
The guy who speaks Chinese.
Yeah, it's a white guy who goes in. Here's the premise. This guy made a ton of money because of all these hits. Like 42 million. If you do anything that Chinese people are going to like,
yeah.
Look, 42 million hits. That guy made some cheddar. He's a white guy who studied in Beijing for like 10 years, lived there for 10 years. So he speaks perfect. Not only Chinese, but different dialects of Chinese. And what he does is he'll go to New York City's, you know, Chinatown in New York City, and he'll go in there like, what do you recommend? You know, he'll come in there and they're telling, oh, General Tso's chicken. You know, they hit him with the sesame chicken. And then all of a sudden he uses language that sounds like, oh, so then, you know.
He does what? No. Let me see. Let me hear what your impression of what he does.
Here, let me play it right here for you.
No.
You can hear it.
No, I want to hear your impression
you
of it.
You do the impression.
Yeah, you do the impression.
He seems so into it.
I just don't do an impression. Like, I have to know the words.
Well,
you know the words to do the impression. Like, filter saying no.
Well,
it feels like it's go time, but then filter saying just don't.
Well, listen.
Just don't.
Repeat that.
Yeah.
Do it again.
Do it again.
Is that the guy?
Not you. Yeah,
is that
the guy? That's the guy.
Oh, do it, John.
No.
Do it again.
What?
I did.
We can play more if you'd
one
like.
One more time.
We got nails to go over the tribal.
No,
he goes, we got nails.
That's not what he said. He said, look, I'm practicing.
We got nails. So I'm going to go in and say that.
What? What was that?
We got Neochua. That's what he said.
We got nails. So he's trying to put up a painting.
No, he doesn't. No, he's saying, I'm just practicing. And the women say, stop talking. You're freaking me out.
Oh, all right.
So this guy can't stop watching him because as soon as he orders in Chinese and then uses their dialect, Fung Chao or something like that, the whole everyone working in a restaurant and everyone eating a restaurant, they immediately turn their head like, what in the going on here? And people start getting freaked out. Like, and then the cook and the people freeze up at the counter. They can't even talk to him anymore because they don't like what.
Well, I wish he would get more of them making fun of him.
Well, he goes into he's going into a nail salon. Yeah. So that's going to happen. Yeah, I'm going to watch this during the break.
I would love to know what the ladies in the nail salon are really saying about you. You know what I'm saying?
Or the foot massage, right. You hear...
What? These janky-ass feet.
I'm like, oh, man, I wish I could just record it and it could do a, the translation for
what
you.
What about Lance's? What kind of feet does Lance like?
Well, we've heard.
Hold on. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
I like pretty feet.
There you go. See, Dale, you're his puppet now. Yeah. Cool.
I like pretty feet.
Was the hand up? Was the hand, did it go up or did he do the string puppet? Which one?
You're not going to upset me by using what I say against me.
He puppeteered you.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, let's hear what Romeo said about Ross Blacklock.
That is not Romeo.
You don't know.
You don't know. You don't know if Romeo, you know how old he is? You don't know how much time he spent in Beijing.
Yeah, you don't know. And here's the translation of what Romeo just said.
Well, I don't think that he was on top of his game yesterday. And so that might have had something to do with it.
And that was a reference to his reduction in snap count.
Right.
And snaps.
And what about Whitney's snap count? Can we talk about that?
Sure. We can hear Romeo talk about that. I mean, he's talked about it before.
Yeah. He's not on the. Oh, that's him. He said the same thing about Ross.
Well, yeah. Lack of production. He wasn't feeling that.
Lack of production. Mm-hmm. So he's not getting on the floor. Yeah. I got you.
Did you hear?
He said the same thing about Whitney, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Very repeatable.
All right.
Did you hear? Neil says this. Hey, say standings, not table. Granado. Also, Granado. Hey, did you see the new advertisement?
He makes a point.
Yeah, yeah, the new advertisement, yes.
Advertisement?
It's not an
advertisement. It's America. Say advertisement.
It's America. Say advertisement.
No, it's an
advertisement. Not advertisement.
Advertisement.
Do you also say Jaguar?
Yes.
Okay.
The Jaguars are going to play in London.
Mm-hmm.
The Jaguars.
That's why they started. That was a subliminal messaging from way back. Jaguar. Get used to saying it that way.
The Washington football team has settled a sexual misconduct claim against owner Daniel Snyder for $1.6 million in 2009. Wrongdoing, it was for his actions in 2009. Man, there's going to be a lot more. And that was from 2009. How much more is coming for this dude? I mean, because the culture that they created for the Washington football team, by the way, it's going to be the Washington football team again next year, I think. I went to the Washington airport, and they had a giant, did I tell you, they had a giant red tail. This whole wall was about the red tails.
Which is a separate thing.
Right.
Right. But it could be used as long as they'll pay that one guy what is asking.
Right.
There's a guy who's already squatted on it.
He squatted on the redtail.com. Did he squat on WashingtonRedTails.com?
He owns the whole word redtail. You're not allowed to even say redtail without.
No, yeah, I think you can say it.
Okay. I think he cyber squatted, yeah. On the website and all over every form of redtail he squatted.
He did.
On. Well, multiple names.
Yeah. So that's the problem. So you can't have the website, so you don't name your team that?
I mean, I don't know what else. What are they doing?
I mean, it would be so
easy.
So, well, it would be the perfect solution for all of these years of Redskin and people being upset with a name, it would be the exact opposite. It is honoring a group of African and first African Americans to fly to whatever the case.
I'm sorry, African Americans were not the ones wronged here. It was the natives.
I know, but you don't have a lot of Native Americans on your team. You have a lot of African Americans.
So say it doesn't matter. You weren't offending them by saying Washington Redskins. The Redskins was the offensive for the Native people. So come up with a better Native name. What do you think, John? No, I'm just kidding. I want to keep doing a job. I want to keep doing radio. I don't want John to workshop and then he's got.
Let me think about
it. I don't want you to workshop it on the air. You can think about it. Just don't workshop it from the thing and then just, the bleach.
Just some initial thoughts.
So just real quick before we move on.
You had something that you wanted to talk about, some prospects or something in the last one.
Prospects or pros. I'm about to get to it. But just to finish up with Romeo Crennel, I thought this was very, very telling also. Somebody asked him, I think it was Mark Berman asked him, what's the message that you send your team? Like, what can you say? This is the second time this has happened in 3 weeks. Can you tell us what you said to your team afterwards to kind of keep them up?
Keep those egg rolls frying, bye.
So that's Romeo.
That was Romeo's message.
Romeo's message was keep those egg rolls frying. Bye. And he walked out of the press conference.
The final question of the presser.
Final question goes, keep those egg rolls frying. Bye.
Who? I thought it was going to be that guy again.
Could always be that guy.
In a way.
It kind of is.
Kind of.
It kind of is. Who speaks better Chinese, Gilbert or that dude?
That dude.
That dude.
Yeah, much better.
We not only can't get the gong with Joha.
Versus, now let's hear Gilbert's.
No, they deleted it.
Deleted it?
A long time ago. The one they were purging and cleaning up stuff.
The one where he was
you could have just played keep those egg rolls.
Wait,
Gilbert
not to do it.
Gilbert
yes.
spoke Chinese on the air?
It was fake Chinese.
Yes, Gilbert talked Chinese on the air.
And it was not
it
this
was
clear.
Exceptional.
It was.
It was?
It was.
Exceptional is a word for it.
Outstanding.
Oh, okay. Dell made me realize.
They deleted that?
Was it clear?
A long time ago. Yes, it was clear, but
jerks.
I came back.
No, was it clear? Like, could you,
no,
was Gilbert,
it was,
no,
it was not
was like this guy.
It was gibberish.
It was gibberish.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was asking.
Yeah. Anyway, your prospect.
Washington Eyelids for Kids is not going to be a name. Oh, no, he wants Washington Foreskins and Eyelids for Kids can be an investor. No, Eyelids for Kids is not going to get involved.
Well, the Foreskins make sense. Redskins, Foreskins. Yeah.
Washington Savages is not going to be a name at all. It's a Washington Savages.
They're trying to get away
Savages.
From that.
Yeah.
How about this one for opening workshop concept for the... Nope. Boy, you guys have some terrible ideas for names. No one is using you. Nope. Not that one either.
Well, now you're
so
too late because Dana's joining us on the other
it's
side.
2 minutes. Prospect for pros. All we talked about was how the flip now... Is Jacksonville the job you want?
Yeah.
Because you look at what happened, and then now Sam Darnold. Now you look at Sam Darnold, and you say, if you're the Jets, it was going to be easy. You move Sam Darnold, you get picks, you get Trevor Lawrence. Now, do you lock in with Sam Darnold? I mean, you can't lock in with them, but now you have Sam Darnold. Now, what direction do you go? Do you go tight end? I'm not tight end. Do you go running back or wide receiver? Do you go offensive tackle? Like, what do you do? This has really had a domino effect. And now for the Jacksonville Jaguars, now you might move Gardner Minshew. And maybe Gardner Minshew is a guy that some teams say, hey, you know what? We've seen Gardner do some things. We can try to bridge quarterback
exactly
him like
get for
Ryan
him.
Fitzpatrick.
Honestly, what exactly?
You're not going to get a lot.
No.
I think you'd get a fifth. Or maybe even a fourth. Actually, Gardner Minshew is a good backup quarterback. I would give a fourth rounder for
him.
Yeah,
okay.
If you're a pretty good team. A fourth maybe if you have an extra fourth from a compensatory pick. Because you draft backups starting in the fourth usually.
Okay, what's the most attractive job right now?
I would say, I don't know that it's Jacksonville. See, here's the problem. With Jets. You got to deal with the Dolphins and the Bills now. That's a pain in the ass division potentially for years to come.
The Texans division is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, but I mean, Colts don't have a quarterback. Tennessee Titans still have, and you got Deshaun Watson on a bad roster. Yeah. This isn't a great. Well, yeah, you're actually right. Yeah, I think the Texans division is an easier division.
Is it easier?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Not with
Buffalo and
not
Denver.
With Trevor Lawrence coming to the Jags, and then the Colts, all they have to do is add a quarterback. But by the way,
easy.
They're one of the better teams in the AFC, and they don't have their quarterback solved yet.
Yeah, but
they got a good roster.
They got a good roster, but solving quarterback does not just happen overnight when you're in the 20s.
All right.
That's hard.
After Dana, we'll try to get back to this on ESPN 97.5. Dana Holgorsen next to talk about his bowl game and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Dan Holgorsen joining us in just a second here to talk about his bowl game, taking on the University of Hawaii. Todd Graham is the head coach over there. And so, interesting ties between the two. They've faced each other more than a few times. And obviously, we know Todd Graham from his Rice days. Well, his Rice year. And then he took off for Tulsa. Then he took off for Pitt. And then he took off for Arizona State. And then he took off for, I don't know where he took off for, but he takes off. Todd Graham takes off a lot. And so he's got him. And they had a decent season. They beat Fresno. They lost to Wyoming. They lost to San Diego State. They lost to Boise. And they actually played some games. They lost to San Jose State. Beat UNLV. Beat Nevada. Beat New Mexico. So it'll be interesting to see University of Houston taking them on Thursday. Dana Holgorsen is joining. It's the New Mexico Bowl being played in Frisco, Texas, which makes zero sense. But let's bring in Dana here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say?
How you guys doing today?
We're doing great, man. How about your football team?
It's a daily adventure, just like all of 2020 has been. We've had a good week of practice. Coming off that Memphis game is tough. I mean, just watching the kids, really proud of them, just fighting back to get themselves in position where we had a chance in the end to lose it in the last seconds is tough. Guys regrouped, and we've had a week really good practice out there, and now we're ready to go play. Like you said, we're ready to go play Hawaii in the New Mexico Bowl and Frisco, Texas. So let's have one more opportunity to play before we wrap this thing up here in 2020. It's been pretty adventurous.
Yeah, it's amazing that you're actually going to play a game as opposed to what's happened this year. And Hawaii is actually still going to be able to play, which is something that hasn't happened for you most of the season. Being this bowl game. We had talked a little bit earlier. It had to be the right circumstance for you, right, to be in to play a bowl game.
Well, we wanted for the majority of the year. I mean, I think everybody was like, "There's no way bowl games are going to happen," right? So, but there's TV contracts involved, and anytime there's TV contracts involved, the networks want these games to be played. So, it's just going to feel like a road game, because really the games that we've played on the road, ironically enough, in the seven that we played, we didn't play any games that were just completely empty stadiums, which a lot of that happened this year. We didn't experience that. That's why bowl games are getting moved to Texas, because we can have fans in California and in New Mexico, and they won't allow fans, which is why the Rose Bowl is being moved to Dallas and New Mexico Bowl is being moved to Frisco. So it just feel like a neutral site road game. I imagine Hawaii will have, a couple thousand people there. We'll probably have a couple thousand people there, and it feel like every road game's felt. We just wanted one more opportunity to play. When you get eight games canceled, you think you got enough gas in the tank to be able to finish the year the way that you want to. Opportunity presented itself. I tried to look for a game, a week ago, and that didn't come through. All signs were pointing towards if you want to play one more time, play in the bowl game. There's been plenty of teams opt out and not want to play in the bowl game, but we felt like we wanted to have one more in us, so we took advantage of being able to do it. So It'll feel like a road game, but just wanted to be able to play it. And we got enough people to go play, so let's go play.
Yeah.
Do you, in terms of how is, I know you've lost, well, I know your linebacker opted out. Did Peyton also opt out, or not? I don't remember seeing him opting out.
Yeah, he did, and Speedy did, and a couple others did, and, you know, some guys are, we tested yesterday. We got a couple more guys whacked with COVID, and grades are coming out, and the whole grade issue, that's a whole other subject now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's pass-fail. You know, if you fail classes, then they don't render you ineligible because of your GPA, because the Fs don't count. And this is pretty standard across the country, but there's still eligibility requirements with passing a certain amount of hours to be eligible for the bowl game. I've, you know, had probably max 1 to 2 kids a year that don't meet that standard. Doesn't mean they're off the team. It just means that the next semester they got to do a lot better. And at the end of the year, they got to have 27 hours that meet percentage. And these are all pretty standard NCAA rules, right? And I think some kids forgot that they had, you know, if they fail all their classes, it didn't go against their GPA, but it goes against being bowl eligible. So we had a whole bunch more. But so we're going to be without probably, I don't know, probably 15 to 20 guys or something like that. But that's not any different than what we've been dealing with all year. I don't think it's going to phase our team whatsoever. I imagine Hawaii's going to be dealing with the same stuff as well. You know, it's just a weird deal where if they're not there, the next guy's got to step in and play. So we got enough guys to go play. We have all year. We've been upwards of 20 to 25 guys short at any point throughout the course of the year. So whoever we play with is who we play with, and the guys need to step up and play. And I think a lot of them are looking forward to the opportunity to be able to do that one last time. And, you know, so no excuses, and don't need to really get into who's there and who's not. Let's just go line up and let's just go play. But opting out is one thing that's become very common. I'm not losing any sleep over it. But the three guys that are in the Senior Bowl, Marquez and Grant and PT, those guys have done an awful lot for the University of Houston. We're very proud of them. They're Senior Bowl invitees. They're going to go to the combine. They're going to get drafted and go play in the NFL, and we wish them all the success in the world. But that's how guys are opting out because of COVID. Guys are opting out because they don't feel like playing. Guys are opting out because they want to go to the NFL. Guys are opting out because this is too much for them. Coaches are opting out. Heck, we even got teams opting out of bowl games. So just the standard in 2020, and I don't think that's going away anytime soon.
That's my concern, is I think once the genie's out of the bottle, it's not going back in. And I really, really am concerned. John and I have talked about it on the show, Coach, that I think this is going to become the standard. The phrase opt-out has now created what I believe is going to be, and the opt-out came because of COVID, but now I believe moving forward, you're going to see more and more players just leave in the middle of the season when things aren't going the way they like them to, or when they believe their season is over from whatever their personal goals are standpoint. I think they're going to leave teams, and I think it's going to start happening a lot more, and I'm really concerned for teams because, you know, there's a commitment you make when you get your scholarship and when you play the whole season, when you're in the middle of a season, and I'm really concerned about that, Coach. I don't know if you are or not.
Yeah, and have been for quite some time. You know, I've been on this kick for about 5 years that, I mean, bowl games are getting tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher, and you got this year it's being amplified more than it ever has, and it's been talked about more than it ever has because of that term opt-out got used in June when you could do it, you could opt out of the season and all that stuff. I guess it's become some kind of a sexy thing. You get agents involved with high-profile people that they encourage them to opt out because they don't want them to get hurt. That's not how you need to act when it comes to playing football. It's my personal opinion, but I've been on this kick for about 5 years. I mean, bowl games at the end of the year are becoming harder and harder and harder. Why not play in week zero? That's my thing. I mean, bowl games are about selling tickets, creating good matchups, you know, introducing teams to the city and getting different events and getting charity involved and, you know, raising money and giving money to charity. That's what bowl games were formed for, and that's what bowl games are about. Well, if you do that week zero, you're going to have a whole bunch of people that are going to want to go because everybody's undefeated and everybody's excited about playing. Even the ones that may not be playing towards the end of the year. Those guys are going to be playing at the beginning of the year. And so you'd sell out stadiums, you'd raise a bunch of money, everybody would play, and everybody would be excited about it. So, you know, and then well, okay, so then you say, well, what are you going to do at the end of the year? Well, it's called playoffs, right? And they have it in the NFL, they have it in high school football, they have it in the NBA, they have it in baseball, whether it's college or pro. I don't understand why college football is different. And right now college football is different, and I think college football is facing some decisions here that they're going to have to make in order to be able to make this thing as popular as it is. It is very popular what we're doing, but it's also getting very stale when you're only talking about four teams at the end of the year that have a chance to be a part of this playoff. And it's ironically enough, it's kind of the same four every year. And so there's a whole bunch of teams that are really just not fighting for anything other than your conference championship, which at this point in time is really the only thing that matters.
Yeah. There are obviously some. If the bowl game counts towards your regular season, like these games, you played Alabama in the kickoff classic. There's the kickoff classic here, LSU, Wisconsin, and it counted towards the regular season. If the bowl game counted toward the regular season, because you might have just too many games if it's a bowl game and then 12 games, then the conference championships, then a 16-team playoff, you're talking about 18 games. So if you can cut that back with the bowl games counting as a regular season game, I think it's a possibility. You're trying to reinvent the wheel, though, Dana. I think I really like the idea, and I think it would be a lot more exciting for everybody involved, and there wouldn't be opt-outs and all of the stuff. But the problem is that there's nobody moves slower than presidents, athletic directors, NCAA, bowl people, because this is how it's always been done, and this is how it'll always be done.
Well, they do it in FCS.
Right,
I mean, those guys play 16 games. Now, I don't know why it wouldn't count as a regular season game. Just make it one of your 12, or even move it back to where you only play 11. You know, I mean, you play a couple of non-conference games every year. What's the difference in a preseason bowl game and a non-conference game? Absolutely nothing. We open up the year next year, week zero, at NRG Stadium versus Texas Tech. That's going to be a high-profile game. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be sold out. There's going to be a lot of people that are interested in it. Why not make that the bowl game and get all your funding towards that, right? And then the Houston Bowl is going to say, well, we want that marquee matchup earlier in the year, and then we want to be able to do our bowl game too. Well, you can combine them and then fight for one of the playoff spots, right? So, I mean, a 16-team playoff means you're going to play two teams are going to play, what, four games? You know, so a lot of them, half of them are only going to play one extra, you know, and then four more are only going to play two extra, you know. But when you're fighting for that prize, who cares if you're playing game 15, game 16? I mean, they're playing 14 and 15 right now the way it is. So I don't view that as a big deal.
No. Hey, it'd work. It's just reinventing the wheel, and you know how slow college, I mean, honestly. It took forever to get to four teams.
How many people are complaining about the CFP right now? And the Aggies are not real happy about it. You know, Cincinnati's not real happy about it. I mean, why is the Group of Five not even being considered? We've had some pretty good teams throughout the course of the year. Cincinnati's one of them. Central Florida was 12-0 3 years ago. Two really good football teams right there that had absolutely no chance of getting in whatsoever. So what are we playing for? We have zero chance, so what are we playing for? I think it's time to change it, and everybody knows it.
Right. And you know what? If you want to know the truth, it's not a playoff. I saw an article and couldn't be more dead on. It's an invitational because it just invites the biggest teams. You're right. It's not just four teams. There are about six or seven, eight. Oregon is in there. Georgia's in there. Alabama, Clemson, obviously.
No, they're in there because
Oklahoma's in there.
They've played at high levels.
Ohio
for a
State's
long time.
In there. Well, right. But it's an invitational. And it's not really a playoff. You have to be invited to go there as opposed to earn your way in. Because the Aggies earned their way in.
Did you think the Aggies should have been in, Coach, or do you have an opinion?
It doesn't matter what my opinion is because I think Notre Dame was right in that conversation too.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
But here's the deal. I mean, that conversation is going to exist every single year. And, yeah, those seven or eight teams that you mentioned, they're elite. And they're really good, and they're not doing anything wrong. But they're going to have two, three losses at times, year in and year out. And you know, if they're playing really good at the end of the year, You know, and I thought it was interesting. I read some article that said we should probably bring the computers back because the human element is just see what they look like right now and make decisions based on what they look like right now. Like Iowa State's lost three games this year, and they're considered one of the elite teams in the country. Well, it's still the same football team, and it counts when you lose Louisiana Lafayette. Still counts. And right now, the human element of how they're picking, they discard that because it happened earlier in the year, and I don't think that's right.
Mm-hmm. Daniel Holgerson brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, HRNP, and Chastang Ford every week right here on ESPN. Well, not every week because they didn't play a lot of games, but as often as he comes on right here on ESPN 97.5. HRP.net, Damaris Barbecue, and Chastang Ford. We got to take a break. You want to hold over or you got to go?
I got practice in 15 minutes.
Okay. We'll leave it there then. Hey, best of luck. Best of luck. And go kick some Hawaii ass, and we will hopefully. Why don't you come in studio sometime this offseason?
I will. Got plenty of time, so I'll come in and see you guys.
All right,
thanks, guys.
See you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Coach Dana Holgerson right here on ESPN 97.5, Damaris Barbecue, HRP, and Chastang Ford.
And Men's Tea Clinic. We try to just weasel in on the backside of that also, like we were sponsors too. My friends over there at Men's Tea Clinic, Michael has been the provider I've seen. He's awesome. And that's the real key here, Men's Tea Clinic. I don't talk about this a lot. I talk about your symptoms and whether or not you have low testosterone. Let's say your testosterone numbers have dropped and they are lower. One of the things that you'll find is that a lot of people will end up going back to or going to Men's Tea Clinic because they've gone somewhere else and they didn't get the same results. And the really important thing here is that the people who are running the locations are registered. They are extremely knowledgeable. They understand the process to fine tune your particular treatment, and they will get you to the optimal level. And there is a way to do it, and there's a right way to do it, and there's also the thing with not being a candidate. I mean, the thing is, some people are not candidates, and other people. You know, other businesses will treat you, but not Men's Tea Clinic. That your safety is their biggest concern. Will you get results? Absolutely. Will you be living your best life? Will you feel like you used to feel? In most cases, the answer is yes. Make sure that you stop in and get tested and find out whether or not Men's Tea Clinic can help you. Go to mensteaclinic.com for one of the five locations. And to find out more about their business, that's mensteaclinic.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
847 ESPN 97.5. Interesting. You know, nobody moves slower. Nobody is more averse to change than college football. It is so stupid the way this was set up and the way it's done. It's terrible. And yet, it's what we have. Every year we argue about the playoffs. When every other playoffs and every other, okay, that's the playoffs. Basketball, NFL, volleyball, hockey, everything. Every other sport. Well, that's the playoffs. And then you play. And then college football. Division I college football. It's so stupid. So stupid. But that's what we have. We have James Harden apparently had an issue. Jayshon Tate has looked pretty good, actually, this preseason. He's a guy who might be in the rotation.
I mean, and we're talking about somebody who has talent. Just young, but has talent.
Yeah. Yeah, he has talent.
It's going to be weird to have younger players that aren't in their 30s.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see how Steven Silas goes about it as opposed to the way Mike D'Antoni did.
Yeah.
It'll be really interesting to see.
Yeah.
But apparently James, none too pleased with Jayshon, threw a ball at him yesterday in practice. Shams Charania. Thank you, Dell. with the Queen's English.
Well, that's how you say his name.
Oh. Anyway, Shams says that, yeah, it's out of the frustration that James is feeling right now with the organization. James is so frustrated. James, when asked, well, you got the question and the answer? Because the answer wasn't very long. Here is James yesterday on the situation.
James, now that you've been in camp for about a week, do you feel any better about this situation now than you did before you arrived?
Next question.
Hmm.
He should have dabbed with it. And I saw the video, and he didn't dab after he said that. I thought he missed an opportunity.
A dab opportunity?
Yeah, I thought he missed an opportunity.
You know who never misses a dab opportunity?
Who?
You.
I don't.
Yeah.
No, because I stay on top
actually,
of my
you well, take to be a, fair.
I stay on top of my
time,
game.
There's no real opportunity. Yeah. He just does it anyway.
He does it anyway. I even when there is, the game. Opportunity isn't there.
The opportunity hasn't didn't arise.
It's arisen.
It didn't present itself.
It's arisen.
No. Anyway.
So James is throwing the football at team throwing the basketball at teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Having heated exchanges with others. That's I feel like it's a good setup. You said you believe Pinocchio Manfred believes that he will be gone, right?
Pinocchio Manfred?
Yeah.
What? That's an avatar. It's
well,
not...
that's your alter ego. No. Break stories. Pinocchio Manfred believes he'll be traded.
Oh, he will be traded.
Before trade deadline?
Yeah, I think it's getting to a point now where you're...
Early season? Would you say by New Year's?
I think
possible.
It's a real possibility.
Yeah.
I think it's a real possibility.
Your stuff got out there. You made the rounds, Pinocchio Manfred.
Clutch fans. You had him on the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, we had Dave Hardesty on.
If James Harden threw the basketball at Jayshon Tate, then Jayshon Tate must be doing something right. Nothing to see here. You know, that is true. What? You got back on defense. You're making me look bad. And threw the ball
come
at
on,
him.
James. Cut off the... Come on, James. You got to drop back in the paint when we go play side. You're backside defender. How dare you talk to me? That's the equivalent of James slapping you with a glove. He takes the glove off and slaps Jayshon across the face for daring to talk to him like that.
Mm.
It's the basketball.
Though. You think, how dare you talk to me like this?
Did you tell me to play defense when I am a multi-time MVP? I've gotten rid of way better players than you, and I will get rid of you as well before I am traded. Good day, sir. And then threw the basketball and walked off. He just hit him with a good day, sir.
I knew
it'd be funny if Jayshon was like, actually, we're hard capped, so I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. Jayshon.
That's why Gerald Green's no longer here.
Yeah. If you want to know the truth, Jayshon will be here and James won't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think maybe that might be a reason.
Robert says,
for James, frustration.
Ball throwing stuff doesn't bother me. Sounds like a tough kid getting under James's skin. I imagine practice now is asking for a lot more accountability, and James just isn't used to it. Probably pretty annoyed with a short fuse. Probably. I don't care. I'm not doing it. Sorry. We as the Houston Rockets are not doing things based on James and his best interest.
No, but if he's going to be a pain in the ass, if he's going to be a problem now in practice.
Yeah, apparently multiple verbal confrontations with teammates in practice on Sunday and Monday, so it's not just a Jayshon Tate thing. And the normally laid-back player is apparently showing an uncharacteristic level of frustration. So, no, it's not just one incident. It's apparently a thing.
Yeah, James Engelman.
He won out, and he's going on that whole superstar, I'm going to be a pain in your ass until you get me out deal, it feels like.
Yeah. No.
Make it happen.
Yep, he got the playbook from Dwayne Brown.
This is the playbook.
There's going to be some racism claims coming up shortly.
What?
Well, yeah. they dropped the Trump thing.
Yeah.
That was used. I mean, that was right out of the playbook.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a newer playbook, but it's kind of, you know what that's in reference
Absolutely.
To. I think James is just going to keep being pain in the ass. He publicly posted himself in a club. That rarely happens, I think.
When he was supposed to be at practice.
Yeah, I mean, he's following the playbook fairly effectively.
Yeah.
I think it's in everyone's best interest to move you. Just let it happen.
Yeah.
You don't have to fight teammates.
No, but here's the problem is now Rafael Stone is up against now. Not only is he up against, I've got to do a
Other
great
people.
Deal because of A, Daryl Morey and the deals that he's done in the past, the Chris Paul deal notwithstanding. B, Bill O'Brien and the horrific deals that he has done. C, I came from the law department. I didn't come from the basketball side, and I have to prove that I am capable of doing this job. In the biggest deal that will have been, I mean, honestly, this James deal is going to be as big a deal as the Rockets have ever made. When you get rid of a star in his prime and you have to get value back?
Well, you got, for Tracy McGrady, you gave up Katino Mobley and Steve Francis, which was considered a fairly, and Kelvin Cato. That was considered a fairly even deal.
You win.
You won, clearly. But that was considered, from a talent standpoint, they got a big, they got, and that's an example of one star player going for three starters. But in the end, what did it really, what did Steve Francis or Kelvin Cato or Cat, what difference did they ever make for
Orlando? Look at the James Harden deal coming here. What did you give up? Oh, my gosh.
It did nothing.
A bunch of nothing.
Nothing.
And so the odds are that the Rockets are going to get worked on this deal. The odds are James Harden is the best player
By far. So let's make it really apples to apples. The move for Anthony Davis, who had a team who actually wanted him, that was a pretty good deal for the, I would say the Hornets got pretty, or the Pelicans got pretty good value there.
Yeah, because Brandon
Ingram
turned into
who was the third? Ingram, Ball, and who was the third, Dell, that they got?
Josh Hart.
Yeah. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking.
Because Brandon Ingram has turned into a star.
Yeah. And Lonzo and Hart are good players.
He's better there than he was at
Ingram is turning into what he was supposed to turn into. But, he came right. I mean, he was a super young pup, super skinny. Was on kind of a dysfunctional Lakers team. It can happen. Well, you just have to give it time.
Well, you have to get. Now, don't forget, Brandon Ingram was a really high draft pick, too.
Yeah.
You got to
get. Highly regarded.
You have got to get something of that ilk somewhere in that neighborhood. And is that out there offered right now? James is really killing the Rockets here in that, now they're going to have to move him fast. They've got to get it. Now they're going to start to get desperate.
Ignore the noise.
Well, I don't know that Rafael Stone. I don't know that the other teams are like, sweet, James, throw more basketballs. Throw more fits. James, how about not showing up again? That'd be great. Because now the Rockets are getting more and more desperate. And that's going to be the case. I have a feeling they're going to have to move him pretty soon. With this kind of stuff going on, how can you go into the regular season with a new head coach? It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
A new head coach has got to deal with all this crap. Terrible. You know what Craig DeCerf deals with? Just great people.
Great people, great product, and employee pricing for everyone. If you want an example of what employee pricing for everyone looks like, and it truly is a thing. Employee pricing is a real thing. I had my doubts about it a couple of years ago. I asked about it, and Craig walked me through the whole thing. It's like really this opportunity where they open up the portal and they say, look, we're going to give you the same rates our employees get. But they make it a limited amount of time. And it's just one of these, some months the offers are better than others. That's the way it works. That's the way a lot of different sales work. And this is a great example. If you go to LanceZCars.com and you click the employee discounts for everyone, you can go and see an example of what the price will look like. I'll give you an example. A 2021 Buick Enclave Essence SUV. MSRP is $45,175, but the employee pricing, they're going to take $34,66 off. You've got a purchase allowance of $22,50, and then you got your trade-in value for your vehicle. And so it ends up going below $39,000 for you. And there's a wide variety of offers on the site. You can go, there's 8 pages of different vehicles from Buick, from Chevy, from GMC, where you can see these great offers for you, and you can see exactly what you could be in with this amazing employee pricing. And employee pricing is going to end at the end of December with the cash allowances. So make sure you take advantage of it right now. Go to LanceZCars.com or head out to Angleton during your holiday break at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.